Good evening.
I hope everybody is well and is looking forward to the end of Cheshvan, which will be Saturday night. So just hold it together. One more day. Shabbat itself will just be a little preparation. All of the tzaddikim come on Erev Rosh Chodesh, which this month is actually on Shabbat. So the tzaddikim will be there to support us on Shabbat, as well as the energy of Shabbat, which is more than what we need anyway. Please join me in saying the Ana B'Koach. Ana B'Koach Gedula Chemincha Tati Zerura Alephet Gimel Yud Tav Tzadi. This sequence connects us to Ahavat Hinam, unconditional love. Kabel Rinat Amcha Sagvenu Taharenu Nora Kufrei Shayin Sintet Nun. These six letters spell two Hebrew words, Kra, which means tear up, and Satan, which means it's the name of the energy force that gives us free will. Kra Satan, tear up Satan. The same letters can be rearranged to spell Sha'ar Katan, which means small gates. And it reminds us to guard our gates, the eyes, the ears, the nose, and the mouth, which are the entry points for the negative system. Na Gibor Dorshe Yehudcha Kivava Shamrem Nun Gimel Dalet Yud Kaf Shin. Nun Gimel Dalet as a gematria 57 connects us to Zan, the Hebrew word that means parnasah, sustenance. Yud Kaf Shin is a sequence of letters that allows us to take back the energy we've given to the negative side through our mistakes. The letters for the month of Cheshvan, the Dalet that created the planet Ma'adim, Mars, the planet of war, and the Nun that created the constellation Akrav, the constellation for Scorpio. Together they spell the Hebrew word Din, which means judgment. Just as a reminder, starting Saturday night when you say the Ana B'Koach, we use the second verse to connect to the letters of the month of Kislev. And those letters are the Samech, which created the constellation Keshet, the rainbow, the bow, the archer, different translations, different understanding of Keshet. And the Gimel, which created the planet Jupiter, the planet Tzedek, which means justice. Kislev is the month of miracles. The fourth verse of the Ana B'Koach. Barchem tacharem rachamei tzidkatcha tamid gamlem. Bet Tetresh, Sadi Tav Gimel. This verse connects us to the sphere of Netzach, which has an attribute of eternal victory. Eternal victory in the only war that matters. The war against the desire to receive for oneself alone. Chasin Kadosh Erov Tuvcha Nael Adatach. Het Kuf Bet Tet Nunayim. This sequence connects us to the Sphere of Hod, and one of its aspects is appreciation and thankfulness. Yachid Geye Lamcha Penei Zokre Kedushatach Yud Gimel Lamed Pei Zayin Kuf. This sequence helps to speed the spreading of the wisdom of Kabbalah during this, the sixth millennium. Shavatenu Kaber Ushma Tziakatenu Yodeya Talumot Shinkufav Tzadi Yudtav. The first two letters have a gematria of 400, representing perfection and completion, or completion which is perfection. The last four letters have the same gematria as the first letters, 506, connecting us to Ahavat Hinam, unconditional love. And it teaches us that the path to perfection, the path to completion, can only be reached through the injection of unconditional love. In the eighth verse, we say in a whisper, tonight's class, we read from the Zohar. We're reading from the Parasha of Toldot, section 9, and the boys grew, for he relished his venison. It's starting with verse 73. But before I start, does anybody have any questions? Okay. Vayehi Noam Adonai Eloheinu aleinu ma'aseh yedeinu fenunei aleinu ma'aseh yedeinu fenuneihu. Vayigdilu han yarim sitra di Avraham garim lon leit gadala uskute siya lon hu hava mechanech lon b'mitzvot diktiv ki yedativ lama'an asher yitzave et banav v'domer leyaska Yaakov esav vayigdilu panarim vayehi esav Ish yodea tzitayid v'gomer amar Rabbi Elazar kohad v'chad itvarash le'arche dalasitra dimhemnuta v'dalasitra v'avoda zara. And the boys brew, the verse from Bereshit. This refers to the side of Abraham, the right side, which is Chasadim, and which caused them to grow. His merit supported them, for he was teaching them the precepts. As it is written, for I know him that he will command, the Hebrew is etz, which has no meaning, his children. Another verse from Bereshit. The particle et means that Yaakov and Esav are included among his sons. Therefore, the explanation of and the boys grew is that they grew in holiness. Only afterwards Esav became corrupted. Rabbi Elazar disagreed. He believes that each went his own way, one towards faith and the other towards idolatry. This is really an interesting aspect, because almost everybody, all of the commentaries, always attack Esav for being an idolater, being a negative human being, etc., etc. And the Zohar is explaining here that while Abraham was alive, and the Midrash says that the story of the selling of the birthright of, for a bowl of lentils, a bowl of red stuff, as Esav referred to it, the Midrash says he was coming in from having gone hunting and murdering Nimrod. And when he came in, he, you know, they had this dialogue over the bowl of soup, which the Midrash says was lentils, which was a standard fare of mourning. And the Zohar is really saying it was at that point that Esav moved away from holiness and started to go his own way, but that he actually did not start out that way. And that's really very interesting. I've never read anything like that before. Verse 74. Vekein hava b'meo derivka detaman kol chad azel v'sitre dekad ihi ishtadlak yovadin dekashran o avarat semich v'yatartav l'mevad pekude v'yoraita hava Yaakov chade v'dachik v'nafka v'kad harvat azla samit v'atar az hahu rasha batash v'nafka v'yokhnuha ugin kach kadit v'riyu unfaku v'alma kol chad itfarash v'yazel Beit Meshach Bedukte Beit Chazele Bealda Veigdilu Hanarim Vayehi Esav Ish Yodea Said Begomer. So it was, while still in Rivka's womb, each went toward his own side. When she was performing good deeds, or passing near a place that is favorable to the precepts of Torah, Yaakov was glad and struggled to come out. And when she walked past the place of idolatry, the wicked one struggled to come out. This has already been explained. For that reason, when they were born into the world, each was drawn to the place he deserved. Therefore it is written, and the boys grew. And Esau was a cunning hunter, which means that he led people astray to rebel against Hashem. And also in the Torah, what this is saying, and the boys grew, is a verse, and immediately afterwards, the verse says that Esau was a cunning hunter. And people, the Zohar is answering the question, or Rabbi Ashlag is answering the question from the Midrash, that his hunting was a people, just as Abraham took souls when he left Ur Kasdim. And the Midrash explains that Abraham took souls, meaning he had spoken to people and converted them in that sense, introduced them to the concept of one God, taught them how to experience God in their own way. And these souls, these people that he brought closer to God, is who, what he took when he left Ur Kasdim. This was his merit. And now the Zohar and Rabbi Elazar and a few other people that have, in their commentaries over the centuries, are all saying that Esav was a hunter of people, in order to lead them away from holiness, away from Torah, away from the one God. Verse 75. Vayeachav Yitzhak et Esav ki tzayid Tafiv Ha'okmuha Diktiv Ish Yodea Said Ish Tzadeh Uktiv Hatam Uhaya Gibor Said Ish Tzadeh Efa'ka'ofcha Lon Livnei Nasha Ukat La'alon Ve'ihu Amar David Tzlota Vitzayed Lebefume Ish Sadeh Begin de Cholak Adve Lavihi Taishuva Ela Beatar Haru Vemad Bera Bechachla Vialda Ish Sadeh. And Yitzhak loved Esav, for he relished his venison. This verse has been explained. Here it is written, a cunning hunter, a man of the field, where elsewhere it is written, he was a mighty hunter. Therefore it means that he deluded men and led them astray to rebel against Hashem. Here it means the same. Thus a man of the field is one who robbed and murdered people. And Esav said he went to the field to pray, as it is written of Yitzhak. And Yitzhak went out to meditate in the field. He hunted and cheated Yitzhak through his mouth, as it is written, he relished his venison. Literally, there was venison in his mouth. He was called a man of the field because his lot was not in a populated place, but in a desolate place. In the open wilderness, in the field. Thus he was called the man of the field. The verse is explaining why Esav is referred to as the man of the field. And goes on to explain it was all about attracting people away from God and hunting people to come away from God and relishing his venison as a whole discussion or a whole code concept of what does that mean, what is venison. It's not just meat, it's dead meat, and we need to understand all of that. Verse 76. Bishin Shekinta Havaati me dei la sharia ime shakinta es yakel levarcha leile yako beshata devar ke la vadai shakinta havat daira ime beveta vedaira ime tadir avala oda Le begin de itzbarech Yaakov beladate Ela bedate de kucha barichu Vehake itzterich Div hahi shaka Yal Yaakov kame avuhi Alati me shakinta Ukdein chama bedato Yitzhak beitchaze Livirka Vayitzberich Medata Dishkinta. You may ask why Yitzhak did not know of all the wicked deeds of Esav, as the Shekhinah was with him, and he should have known it through the Holy Spirit. For without the Shekhinah, how could he have blessed Yaakov when he did? Assuredly, the Shekhinah dwelt in his house and was with him always. But the Shekhinah did not inform him of that, because Yaakov was to be blessed only with the knowledge of the Holy One, blessed be He. And so it had to be, for when Yaakov came before his father, the Shekhinah came with him. And then Yitzhak saw in his mind that Yaakov was worthy of being blessed, and that he would be blessed by the approval of the Shekhinah. It's a question that's troubled people all through the centuries. How could Yeah, how could Yitzchak let go? He had to know. And we have some other explanations of why Rivka did what she did, and some of her language that didn't make any sense, and I direct you to my email for this week that explains it. But it always struggles. There's always this issue of how could he not know? And the Zohar is explaining in the end of this section 9 that he did know. He had the Shekhinah with him. He did know. But it also the Shekhinah concealed things from him. So Esav would say to him, I'm going to the field. When he went to the field and hunted men, and when he would come back, he would tell Yitzhak that he had gone to pray, just as Yitzhak went to pray when he went into the field the first time Rivka saw him. And now we have this deeper understanding that Yitzhak had to be given free choice to a limited extent. He had to know it was Jacob he was blessing. And he had to know he was taking it away from Esau. And his decision was made by the fact that the Shekhinah was with Jacob, and that caused him to decide to bless Jacob, even though he knew that it was Jacob and not Esau. Section 10, and Yaakov cooked the pottage. Verse 77. Nachada Havayativ Rabbi Shimon Ushar Havraya Al Kame Rabbi Elazar Bere Amaru Leila Rabbi Shimon Milta Ravta Inan Lemi Bae Kamach Bi Inyana Yaakov Esav Echla Ba'a Yaakov Lemechav Le'esav Tavshil Titlo Tchin Ad Zabin Le'bekeruta Dileviot De'amar Esav Le'itzak Avuhi V'yak Ve'ini Zepa Amayim. Come and see. Rabbi Shimon was sitting with the other friends when his son, Rabbi Elazar, appeared. A friend said, Shimon, we have an important question to ask you concerning Yaakov and Esav. Why was Yaakov unwilling to give Esav a potage of lentils unless he sold him his birthright? In addition, Esav said to Yitzhak, his father, for he has supplanted me these two times, how can Yaakov deceive Esav? I read a essay by Rabbi Bar Sadok today, basically asking the same questions. The whole idea of selling a birthright right for lentils. Esav was not a stupid person. He was smart enough to say, give me the lentils, and when Yaakov said, no, I won't, Esav could have pushed him away, hit him in the nose, knocked him out. You know, he was a hunter. Yaakov was healthy, but still he was not as physically fit as Esav from the exercise. So why didn't he just overpower him and take the lentils? Or even better, go tell Mom and Dad, Rivka and Yitzhak, look what Yaakov wants me to do. For a bowl of porridge, for lentils, he wants me to sell his birthright. What do you think Rivka and Yitzhak would do to Yaakov for doing such an absurd request? So the whole idea, this whole story, does not make sense. And that's what this question is starting to address. Verse 78. Amar lon bechad ein shata atun hayavim lekabala malkot deche emantun lepit gamev desav leshikartun lepit gamev diyakov dehakara ashad alei diyakov ishtam betu kitiv titen emet liyakov ela kachu inyane diyakov imesav begin desav avasane lifke ruta bekad meta vahava vaemine diyakov deceit lis bale afilu bilakesef ahidiktiv vayokal vayesh vayakam vayelachu vives es sahavakora. He responded, now you deserve a whipping because you believed Esav and lied about Yaakov's words. The scripture bears witness that Yaakov was a plain man. The word that is translated as plain is tam, which also means complete and finished. And Rabbi Ashlag is saying, which means that he cannot cheat. Also, it is written, you will show truth to Yaakov. This was the situation concerning Yaakov and Esau. Even before Esau detested his birthright, and he asked Yaakov to take the birthright without payment. Thus it is written, and he did eat and drink, and rose up and went his way. Thus Esau despised the birthright. There's a lot to be read into this verse, a lot to understand it. It's saying, like we all do, Esau complained that Yaakov did things to him. But Yaakov was a plain man, a complete man, a perfected man in essence. A tam, an ish tam. Just like Noah was an ish tam. And the whole idea of this concept is they cannot lie. Now, the rabbis have always taught that Yaakov was capable of outwitting the negative side. But he never outwitted the negative side by using a lie. That's a tool of the negative side. And Rabbi Shimon is responding to the friends and his son, Rabbi Elazar, and saying, how can you believe Esau's words? He's saying he's attacking Yaakov for deceiving him, which is what happens with us. When we have an experience, we agreed to something, or we didn't agree, but things happened, and all of a sudden it's the other person's fault. And we prove to ourselves, we relive the event in our mind, and all of a sudden, the other person deceived us. It's their fault. And now we read the story in the Torah, and it's the Torah, and it's saying, Esau said Yaakov deceived him twice. And Rabbi Shimon just calls us up short. How can you believe Esau? Jacob is incapable of lying. He's incapable of deceiving. We went through the whole process with Lavan. Lavan took 10 different times, according to the Midrash, 10 different times he changed his wages. And still, Jacob never changed his approach. He always came back and overcame. This is the lesson, or a lesson, one of many that the Zohar teaches us. 79. Amar Rabbi Elazar, V'yazed Yaakov, Ha'ukbuha, Dehabagina Veluta, Abraham Hava, Aval V'yazed Yitzhak Nazid, Mibaele Ela, V'yazed Yaakov Nazid, Bihu, Hava Yada Ikara, Dilei behahu sitra, itdavak fe, ugin kachava tavshilin, sumkin adashim, tavshil sumka de tavshila, da mitvar chela, betokva de dama, sumka bagin, utabara, Tokfei Tvechele Ugin Kach Avadle Bechachmata Kechahu Gavna Sunka. Of the verse in Yaakov Kudu cooked a pottage, and Esau came from the field and he was faint. Rabbi Elazar explained that "and Yaakov cooked" refers to the mourning for Abraham, who had died on that day, and Yaakov cooked round lentils, which have no mouth. This alludes to the mourners who are without a mouth. He asked, "What, but should not it have been written, and Yitzhak cooked the pottage?" He answers, "Yaakov cooked the pottage because Yaakov knew the origin of Esau and the side he cleaved to. Therefore he cooked red dishes, namely red lentils, for this dish breaks the power and might of the red blood, and can break the power and might of Esau, who is the secret of the red blood, as it is written, and the first came out red." Another verse with lots of secrets. For the nation, is experiencing this conflict between the children of Ishmael, the children of Esau, and the children of Yaakov, or the children of Israel. And all of this conflict goes back and forth, and this verse in the Zohar is teaching us that the way to defeat Esau is with red dishes, red food. What does red food mean? Like all of the negative side, who is interested in immediate gratification, give them the quick solution, they'll go away. Give them the quick solution, they'll forget what they came for. Give them the quick solution. Plan for the long term and implement in the short term to achieve the long term. This is the message in this verse. Amazing, amazing, the Zohar. Verse 80. V'alhahu tavshila is the ban lele avda, the zambin the kerute, the Yaakov uhahi shata, yada Yaakov divkin, sa'ir hadik ruvun, Yisrael gabe, dargadile yitapach, the avda livno, the la yakatreg. Lo nufola azal Yaakov legabe di Esav v'chachma v'gin hahu darga hakim di Esav v'la yakel v'shalta v'itkafya Bela Isa Bete Bihu Yagim Ale. For that dish, by selling Yaakov his birthright, Esau became a slave. Instantly, Yaakov knew that for the one goat that the children of Israel sacrifice on Yom Kippur to his level, namely to Azazel into the wilderness, the secret of the Sama'el, the minister of Esau, he becomes a slave to his descendants and will not accuse them. And because of the level of wisdom of Esau, Yaakov dealt wisely with Esau everywhere, so that Esau was unable to rule and was submissive. Yaakov was not defiled by him, but ruled over him. On its surface, it's clearly understood. I know there's deeper meaning in this verse, but it is not clear to me what it is. Verse 81. Vayomer Esav el Yaakov haliteni namin ha'adom ha'adom hazeh amai ketiv tirezine ha'adom elah begin v'kol ma de'it be'adom k'davar acher v'yetze k'arishon admoni v'tav shiloh Adom diktiv min ha-adom, ha-adom hazeh, v'yara dilei aduma, diktiv arca, seir sadeh, edom v'guvrin. Dilei adumin, diktiv hu esav, avi edom uman dezamin, li'it para, Mine Adom, Diktiv Dodi, Tzach Adom, Uvushe Adom, Diktiv Madua, Adom Lilvushecha, Uktiv Mizeba Me Adom. We do not accept this paragraph, for it does not belong in the discussion. To understand this comment and this translation, this was Rabbi Ashlag's commentary. When he translated the Aramaic Zohar into the Hebrew and added his commentary, which makes it much, much easier if the only way to understand it, because to read the Zohar directly is very difficult to understand. It's difficult with even with the Rabbi Ashlag's commentary, but it's more so without it. But when he makes the commentary, he says flippantly, it appears, it's not flippantly, but it appears flippantly, he says, this paragraph doesn't belong. It doesn't belong in this discussion. We don't accept it. We're not going to translate it. How can he do that? And the only answer that can be given is it took him 8 weeks to translate and write the Sulam commentary. And he said, of course, and not of course, but truly, he was not the person doing the translating or writing the commentary. Something took over his hand. Something caused him to do whatever he did. So when it says we do not accept this paragraph, it's coming from a level of consciousness that has the ability to know the truth. And to know that this paragraph got corrupted in the translations not in the translations, but in the copying of the original Zohar from one parchment to another by one sofer to another, one scribe to another, over the centuries, over the thousand years. When Rabbi Shimon passed, a voice came out from heaven and gave Rabbi Abba long life. And it's recorded he lived approximately 600 years, writing how many sets of Zohar parchments he wrote. And then it was sent to Spain to be revealed by Rabbi Moshe de Leon. And there has been other parchments that have surfaced over the centuries, which we call the New Zohar. And the real teaching in all of this is there is one Zohar, and the person who wrote it, the soul who wrote it, Rabbi Shimon, who was a reincarnation of, the Ari was a reincarnation of Rabbi Shimon, and Rabbi Ashlag was a spark of the Ari. It's only these people who would know to be able to say, this paragraph does not belong. Verse 82 in the last section. The last paragraph in this section. Amar Rabbi Yehuda v'kein b'lavan itchaze hake v'gin d'hai hu charasha havakema dikiv nichashti vivarta keni Hashem biglalecha v'yachal gav v'yako ikre givar shalim Begin kachava shalim iman de itzterich leila mehach ime barachame hava zel de iman de itzterich le mehach ime kedina kasha uva akinu hava azel begin de tre ulake havo ve viale. Kitivim chasid, tit chazad, ve'im ikesh, tit patal, im chasid, v'sitra, ve'chesed, ve'im ikesh, v'sitra, v'dina, kashya, kola kitaya ot. Rabbi Yehuda said that this should have been true of Levan as well, because he was also a sorcerer. As it is written, I have learned by signs that Hashem has blessed me for your sake. Therefore, Yaakov was deceitful toward him. That's Rabbi Ashlag saying this. And although Yaakov was a plain and whole man, he was merciful with whomever he had to be merciful with. He was strict in judgment and deceitful when necessary. For he consisted of two parts, chesed and judgment. For Yaakov is the secret of the central column, which comprises the two columns, chesed and gevurah. It is written of him, with the merciful you will show yourself merciful, and with the perverse you will show yourself subtle. Which means that with the merciful he dealt on the side of chesed, and with the perverse on the side of strict judgment, all as it ought to be. So the verse implies, Rabbi Yehuda is saying, not that Rabbi Shimon is incorrect to admonish his son and the other friends about it, but Rabbi Yehuda is saying that Yaakov uses deceit. Did he say deceit? Yes, he said deceit. He uses deceit when necessary. But the last phrase in this verse is very telling. It says if the person is on the side of chesed, then he would use chesed, he would be merciful. And if the person was on the left side, on the side of judgment, on the perverse side, then he would use strict judgment. But it never says in this last section, never says that he will lie. Now Rabbi Yehuda says that he would be he was strict in judgment and deceitful when necessary. Maybe there was a time to be deceitful, and maybe there is a time to be deceitful in order to overcome the left column and bring it back into balance with the right column. Maybe there is a place for deceit. The Esser Dibrot do not say do not lie. The Esser Dibrot, maybe there is a time to be deceitful, but it is extremely rare. And Rabbi Shimon said very clearly in the earlier verse, Yaakov did not lie. He was an ish tam, a complete man. A simple man is another concept of that. What is simple? In the writings of the Ari, the word simple is the way the light before creation is described as a simple, unified light. The word simple has many, many meanings that are not understood in the English. We will not have time to finish the section. Does anybody have any questions? I'll sign off a few minutes early. I wish you all Shabbat Shalom. I invite you to join us at 11:15 a.m. Sunday morning. The last class in the basic class will be given then, as well as on Monday at 6 o'clock L.A. time and 7:30. Two more classes of the basic class, two different groups of people at different stages in the process of the basic class. The 7:30 class will be restriction part two, and the 6 o'clock class is running towards the end of the basic course, but I don't remember what the class is actually about yet. Tuesday, class 9 in the series of Rabbi Ashlag, the writings of Rabbi Ashlag. It's absolutely an amazing class. It starts at 7:45 Tuesdays. Please join us. It is well worth it. Wednesday at 7 is restriction part 1 at 7 p.m. L.A. time. And at 10 p.m. L.A. time is the mitzvot that we continue to deal with. Our Wednesday night class is explaining the mitzvot. And when I do put on yesterday's class on the internet, it's highly recommended everybody hear it. We even had somebody who called and said how wonderful it was, how powerful it was, and how it's stuff that needs to be said to everyone. Recommend you hear it. And then again, Thursday at 10 next week, we will have the discussion, continue with the Zohar, but the portion, the parasha, will be Vayetzeh. Again, Shabbat Shalom, Kodesh Tov. Look forward to the month of miracles, providing you know how to reach and connect with the month of miracles. Shabbat Shalom, Chodesh Tov.